Before we get stuck into today's podcast, I just want to take a moment to thank our sponsors and good friends, Shadow Boxer. Shadow Boxer is a Melbourne-based venture studio building, launching, and investing in disruptive technology businesses. Since 2020, they've helped 62 startups raise, launch, grow, and exit globally. Do yourself a favor and check out their work at shadowboxer.co. Link is in the description.
Hello and welcome to Funny Business. I'm Rob. You're here with Locke, and today we have Gail, co-founder and CEO of Upstate. We had Gail on the pod in late 2021, the peak of COVID, plenty of stuff going on. And since then, I know we said it last week, but we love having people who come back on and share their learnings, share their journey. And if you're new to Funny Business, this pod is for people who have their own business, have a side hustle, or interest in the world of careers, tips, tricks, and advice you can apply back to your own lives or your own business. And this episode is an absolute belter.
I was going to say, you're going to leave me room to talk, or you're just going to... The energy's so high with you today. I love it when you fake it, because it feels like there's 10 batteries up your bum and you're just going, you know?
I don't have to fake it, mate. Sometimes if I leave too much room for you, you'll stuff it up.
Well, what did we speak about?
We talked about Gail and Scale.
I knew you were a rapper. What would be your rap name? Milky Hicks.
Okay. Off the top of my head, I'm not very good like that.
You're not that witty.
It's not very good
when it's planned.
It's not in the script. No, we talked about literally the last 3 years. We had Gail on peak of COVID trying to transfer her business online when people couldn't go in and do the fitness classes there, to what she's doing now with the Scale, the amount of new studios have been opened up, the model and the approach that she's taken, in the fact that she's not gone down a franchise model. They've got Cotton On to support their growth over the last couple of years. So it's like... interesting to see different approach to growth and scale.
Enjoy.
Gail, thank you so much for jumping on.
For the second time
and chatting to us again. We're all saying offline that feels like time's flown, because the last time we actually had you on the pod was in late 2021, middle of COVID, plenty going on. How crazy is that?
It is crazy. So good to talk to you both again. Yeah. When I think about chatting to you last time, being in the middle of COVID and studios closed down in Melbourne and just trying to do our best to get through this whole period of unknown to where we are now. It's just like the world couldn't be more different. So super happy to come back and chat to you about where we're at now and how we got through those last 3 years and where we're going in the future.
Oh, 100%. I'm excited to dig in. And it was exciting to see you on our daily walks. I used to do the Torquay walk and do the same route all the time and occasionally bump into you. I know you do that every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so just cool to get you back on. I know we've had a few people come on for the second and third time, but really excited.
If people are new to Funny Business or haven't missed your episode back in 2020.
Living under a rock.
Can you explain a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, as you said, I'm Gail. I'm the co-founder and co-CEO of Upstate. We're a company-owned group of studios. We've got multi-modalities. So we've got boxing, reform, and Pilates, hot Pilates, and yoga. We started way back when, in 2009, so we're 15 years in the biz, and currently we've got nine locations opened in Victoria, three currently in fit out and about to open in the next few months, and we're pretty excited about path ahead.
Are you someone, when you're getting the new fit outs, are you there every day just sussing it out, making sure it's all good, or you just let the experts just do their thing?
Look, I manage the fit outs actually, so I'm pretty involved. I do all the design and development of the fit outs and manage the property strategy. So I am on site at least once a week.
And I think it's important too, like fit outs and creating that environment to get that community. Like you were saying just off air before, like new studios popping up and all that sort of stuff. But to really like get that vibe and capture that environment is really important to growing the community and the members.
Yeah, 100%. And we love all of our studios to feel different, even though they're all the Upstate brand, but each of them to have their own unique personality. And we really are into building the community. And I think, you know, fitness in general is, you know, has that approach. It's, you know, all about the community and the experience, and all the cafes and everyone around gets to know me during the fit out stage. But yeah, we try and really involve that local community in and get all the local businesses involved and get them coming into classes as soon as we get those doors open.
Well, I've got to apologize, because you did send us a few messages saying, get your ass into gear, boys, and come to a boxing class. And we haven't been yet, but I feel like we
Boys,
put
I
it on
think
the
it's been
record
more
now.
than a few messages, but yeah.
Yeah, it has.
Whenever
Let's
you're
get the
ready,
boys.
whenever you're ready, no pressure.
Honestly, I feel like I really need it now, though.
I think people, it's gone past the need where people are saying, like, if you don't go, you're going to have some serious health problems. Because you're not the only person that's been messaging us, Gail, too. So it's like,
Are you gonna do? Are
we're
you gonna
feeling
go
great.
outside and walk or something?
Stop, get out of Hungry Jack's and Armstrong Creek.
But I love the fact how you guys like built your community, especially early doors, or not so early. You've been doing it since 2009, but involving like not just influencers and stuff, but people from around the community who actually do have a bit of pull and stuff. And like the way you do the content and stuff, I feel like you have to do a lot of things right. I feel like there's so many just moving parts to it. It's not just one thing that you have to nail.
Yeah, absolutely. And like so much of our growth is organic growth, and word of mouth is still our biggest driver of business, and it actually doesn't cost anything. So for us, it's all about just creating the best experience possible and making sure all our classes are consistent and of a quality that's exceeds people's expectations, so that we're delivering them the best experience. They're telling all their friends about it, and it just continues to build.
Well, if you take us back when we did chat last time, we were right in the middle of COVID. You were transitioning your business to doing some online classes. How has life has changed for you and Upstate as a whole now that COVID, we've hopefully said goodbye to COVID and any
I
sort of
think it's
future
done.
things like that in the past?
So look, when we spoke was right at the end of 2021. We finally got to open the studios in November of that year, which was just amazing, and everyone was back in a heartbeat. So we really spent the end of 21 and 2022 was like a rebuild of the whole business, because a lot of our instructors hadn't been working during that period, especially the Melbourne team. So it was a rebuild of the team, and it was a rebuild of those communities. So that was our focus within that period. Pre-COVID, but actually sort of started talking to the Cotton On team about investing in Upstate, and we had pre-COVID grand plans to scale until COVID came along. And so we put some of those conversations on hold. And then as soon as we got reopened, we re-engaged in those conversations about how can we scale the business. We had looked into franchising back in 2019 and really explored that as a pathway, which is, pretty much what most fitness businesses do in, Australia and the US, is they largely follow the franchise model. And for good reason, because it's bloody expensive to open and fit out studios. So it is, it is the best way to grow and to grow quickly. But when we looked at it, there was two things for us that like were deal breakers, I guess. One was people. Part of our mission is to create these career pathways for people in fitness, predominantly females. And when we came into the industry, we just didn't had no idea, coming out of corporate, that it was so female employed and they were all casuals. And we were like, oh my God, these women can't take sick leave. How do they get a loan to buy a house? No annual leave. So we've been on this mission to put our staff into permanent roles, and not have them as casuals or contractors. And in a franchise model, you can't really do that. The franchise model is usually owner operated, and maybe you've got one staff member, but the rest are kind of instructors or contractors. So the franchise model we knew wouldn't work for us, of how we wanted to manage our people. And then also the brand, like my background's brand marketing. And I was like, oh, I don't think I can let go of this brand. And how can we make sure at a franchise, if we went to the franchise model, that delivery of the brand experience, how that would, be maintained as we scaled. So plan B was like, well, where else can we get money from? And looked at, I guess, different options and spoke to different people. And the Cotton On team actually came to us, and as a local business, and a lot of the exec team were members of Upstate. And so we just had some conversations that probably went for nearly 18 months, I'd say, before we landed on a deal that we felt really good about. And yeah, so since then, we've kind of been off and running of opening more locations. Last year, we opened four locations, and we've got, yeah, as I said, a few more, three to six to open this year.
Has that been a challenge to like obviously to choosing to go to that pathway versus new fitness centers or studios or other things popping up in that franchise model of there everyone's sort of grappling for the same market or trying to steal members or however it sort of might work and other names might be popping up and more of them are popping up more frequently. Has that been a challenge of how do you navigate that but still keep what it sounds like what we were saying off air too, like the fact that you've teamed up with Cotton On is amazing because it feels really authentic and organic to, hey, this is born down here. Like they're a Geelong surf coast.
Intentional.
It's
Yeah.
intentional, and
Yeah.
maybe like that brand essence is a lot stronger than if you were just popping up 1,000 upstates
Yes.
tomorrow.
It's a challenge, but mostly we see it as an opportunity because I think in fitness and any franchise, to do well, you have to open a lot of franchises and they can start to really compete with each other. Whereas being corporately owned, our property strategy can really just go at a slower pace, and that means we won't have as many, but we want them all to be super profitable and sustainable. And we can really pick and choose the areas we want to go into and make sure we're not in the areas that are too saturated.
I feel like there's a lot of people, like you guys actually do what you stand for. I feel like it's easy to sort of get distracted. And I feel like that's the cool part. And I feel like that's why we vibe with you a lot is because you stick to your guns. It's just like, no, this is the core. This is the essence of what we want. We can't do it like that. So I think like having clear like brand values and how you want to do it
Yes.
must really help you make
I think
decisions,
it
yeah.
does. And I think it's one thing we underestimate in how we've built the business sometimes, because perhaps the Sherelle and I being sisters, and so our values are, really aligned. And the reason we kind of started the business was because we lost our brother in an accident, and the, impact that had on us as a family, and our mission to just help people create a positive state of mind, and that includes our team as much as it does our members. I just feel like it's actually got stronger and stronger for us through COVID. We really leant into that so strongly, and now as we scale, everything we do really comes back to that, and it's become, just become such a part of our brand that we do without even thinking about it. So it does make decisions like, are we going to franchise or how are we going to grow? It makes those decisions really clear to us and makes it easy to say no to things, and just stay on the path that we think's right. And even though it's probably not right for other brands, and everything's got pros and cons. But we're people who are pretty good at just once we make a decision, we don't look back and compare, just keep moving forward. And our growth is our story, and it's different to others, and that's okay. But I think for us, I guess we're very conscious of the fact that we have this business in the fitness industry where most of the founders are not female. A lot of the franchises in the fitness industry are led by male founders. Yet there's, a lot of females who work in the industry, and we want our story to be one about developing a really profitable, sustainable business, and, show that it can be done. And other people are out there thinking about doing it, you can do it too, like it can be done. So we want to be a great role model for, other women in the fitness industry and do it differently.
Was part of the consideration of looking to take on someone like a Cotton On for their support aspect in building out more of what you were hoping to do in that sense?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we really spoke to them about is we just didn't want a partner just for the capital. Like, of course, we wanted the capital. That was part of what we wanted from everyone we spoke to. But the biggest thing we wanted to make sure we were on the same page with how we wanted to grow. And that was a lot related to like the female empowerment and the community. Cotton On is so big on the community and giving back. So really aligning, I guess, on how we were going to grow. And because we do invest so much in our team and bringing them into full-time roles, there's a lot of financial investment into training, development, support to build that team. And I'm sure if you looked at our P&L compared to others of, fitness, you'd see a heavy investment into the team. And we needed to make sure Cotton On were on the same page that we were going to invest heavily in our people and build a culture, and have these people career pathways that we could retain our team for years to come. And they were.
It's so different, isn't it? Because normal gyms, or they have like PTs, they almost have to rent a space and work out of the gym, and they're working as their own company, or they're on flex hours. I think
It's
of it as a
almost
thing.
unbelievable that the fitness industry has been just run that way for so forever.
Yeah.
It really relies on, people being in the industry for a few years and then moving on to something else. And we wanted to make sure, especially when it is, women or men, doesn't matter who it is, but, we all age, and being able to, be an instructor for years is not that sustainable on the body. So to make sure that people can have a career post instructing is
Is
really
this is that something like a model you'd seen elsewhere that had worked successfully? Like obviously it's definitely changing the norms of what's expected in the fitness industry. Is this something that you've had to sort of shape and build as you go, trying to build it like that? Or have you taken inspiration from other areas or other
Yeah.
product
Not have the
categories?
foundation, don't they? They do different things
Yeah,
like
well, there's
that.
not many in the industry, like not in Australia, there's not many that I know of who have set up like we have in terms of fitness. I guess SoulCycle were probably one at the time who corporately owned and eventually, bought out by Equinox. But there's a couple in the States that are corporate owned and, we try to glean a little bit from what they're doing, but the States is just such a different beast anyway that it's kind of hard to compare how they're doing to how we would do it. So it's kind of been trial and error. And I guess that has been, just one of the challenges as we have scaled up and, we're living and learning as we go, has been how we build out our org chart going forward with the growth is something we're still, learning every day.
What about like thinking about like legacy in terms of pathways and stuff like that? That obviously feels like that's at the forefront of what you're building around like the pathways and the full-time work and like, because if it doesn't exist before, I feel like sometimes it can be a thankless thing or people aren't really recognizing what you're actually doing in the moment. But like creating that thing is hard. And I feel like sometimes when people haven't seen shit before, they're just like, well, what is this? Or they don't understand it. So I feel like you doing that, it is hard work, isn't it?
It is hard work. I mean, the awesome thing is that, again, talking about word of mouth, like as we've started to scale and open more studios, into Melbourne, we've got a wait list of instructors wanting to work with us. As soon as we call out for instructors, we were just getting, have no problem getting, building our team. When I speak to people in other industries, like that's their biggest challenge of finding people. So we're like, okay, well, this is the word's getting around that we're a great place to work and that's amazing. So it's, even though it's challenging, it's having a great result for us to be able to build our team with really good quality people who are aligning with, our mission.
What about you personally? How's your role changed now that you're opening more studios and Cotton On have come on from a capital perspective that allows you to go more into scale mode? How does your role change week to week?
I think the biggest change for us has been probably Sherelle and I really were across everything in the business. And now, like, we've really had to divide and conquer. So I'm still, brand and marketing and the property strategy and people and culture. And Sherelle really looks after all the operations, which is enormous. So I think it's been a process of, letting go of not knowing of what some things are happening in other areas that I'm not responsible for. So that's been, a bit of a challenge for me. I think most people know I like to, control things a little bit. So yeah, I think it's just been shifting our responsibilities and just being confident in our team and building, training them up and developing teams so we can continually to let go. And I think that's where we're at right now, actually, is like we need to continue to get less in the detail and to really lead the team and lead the strategy. I'd say we've shifted a fair bit in the last 3 years, but we're still pretty heavy in the detail. So that's kind of right where we're at now, I'd say, is continuing to onboard our team and, train them up and get them more developed to take on bigger parts of the business.
What about you, like working with your sister so closely for all these years after having such a tragedy happen? I'm sure like out of sadness and stuff and going through all that and this is like born. How's that been since you first started and like your relationship with your sister and how your family thinks of what you guys have done?
Yeah, look, I think that, we don't talk about it much. We just kind of get on with it. But the best thing about doing the business together with a sibling is just knowing they've got your back, you've got theirs, and you've always got the best interests of the business. So, that trust is just intrinsic. Look, I think the family are stoked, I'm sure. They think we are a bit obsessed, and no doubt we are. I think the biggest challenge for the family is just trying to separate at times, not talking about the business, and being a family. We've now got a couple of our nieces involved in the business as well. So, just going into the next generation.
I love that. I love that. So family Christmas and that, do you all get in the active wear and do a class together and stuff? Like, how does that work?
No, we're not that crazy. We're all about balance. We'll be more likely to be, having a gin and tonic.
I love that. Well, you've been I just saw before we click record that you've won another award. I feel like it's good recognition for all the top stuff that you're doing, but like getting that recognition and being considered in those type of things, like, do you think it's important in what you're building, or is it just like a cherry on top?
You know what? I do think it is important as much for the team as anything else, because it's just such nice recognition in the industry for the team to know that they're considered. And that recent award was the ClassPass Awards, or top five studio in Australia, and it's voted by the members. So, for the team, it's just awesome recognition that they're delivering, a high standard class and what they mean to their community. So yeah, they're definitely valuable. And for us as Wiscale, it's all building awareness in those markets.
What about from like a challenges perspective now, like whether it's new things that you've had to pop up or things that were unexpected over the last few years, can you go into and share anything that might have happened?
Yeah, look, I think one of the challenges for us, like I think when we last spoke, we had eight sort of full-time head office team, and now we've got 50. And everyone's pretty much remote, and I do think flexibility is the way of the future, but I think we're working through like what's the best structure for us. Is it some FaceTime? We're all really remote at the moment, so that's been one of the challenges of just building that team over that time, which is reasonably quick to get to 50, I guess. And we're at that point now. We've actually just employed our first HR manager. So yeah, part of what we're looking at is like our people and our culture, and how do we set this team up for success, and what is the future of our like head office team? What's that even mean?
I feel like you mentioned like control. Yeah. It's like it's hard to control when things are remote and you've got a certain way of like, this is how I think it should go. Happy for other things to happen. But it's like, how do you control that when everyone's working all different hours, and how do you get them all on the same page? And you want to be flexible because that's the way the world's going.
Obviously,
Like,
yeah, I was gonna
yeah.
say, it doesn't sound like you're unique in that
That's right.
problem. I feel like
No,
there's a lot so many
exactly.
companies out there having that same conversation at the moment
Yeah.
of COVID allowed some different freedoms for people to work from anywhere, but it also opened up the talent pool for people to find amazing people who might fit different businesses that they might not have been able to have access to in the past before. And I think that where everyone's now at that point where I think that face to face is so important. You know, I'm an advocate of the tech world and remote working and all that sort of good stuff, but
Wiggle in the mouse.
I do think
Yeah.
there's a big element of like you build different types of connections when you can share a meal or have a coffee or spend some
You
different
sound so
time.
old now.
Oh, is it? That sound old, but I do. I think it's a tricky balance that people want to have that flexibility, especially if you are having perms in the workforce, like they're permanent employees, but there has to be a give and take. It must be a tricky thing to try and navigate, especially with the scaling team.
Yeah, it is tricky. And because our team, a lot of the roles are instructors and then in a head office role, we're open 7 days a week. Some might work from, instruct from 6 till 9 in the morning, and then they're working a few hours later in the day. So everyone's hours, it's not certainly, there's no 9 to 5 at all. So that complicates it a little bit further. But look, I agree with you. I'm happy working from home with my lifestyle and where I'm at. However, I'm really cognizant that like when you've got a young team, I had the benefit in my career of being mentored and overhearing conversations of my manager on phone calls or things like that. And so how do we have this young team who are coming in into key roles that don't get the opportunity to tune into some of that? So we want to make sure that we're, giving our team the opportunity to, learn from other people in the business. So I think it's a bit messy for us at the moment as we just work through what's that mean and what could it look like. How do we bring the team together so there's enough face to face, and then also have that flexibility to work remotely?
One of the questions we've been adding in now to all our guests, which is a bit of a not advice for younger self, but like advice for other people looking to get into the world of starting their own business or starting their own thing. If people come to, I'm sure that if a bunch of people in your world that come and ask you for advice, is there anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, look, I think particularly in the world of fitness, because it is most people come to it thinking about wanting to open their own studio because they love the class style, or they're an instructor and they love instructing. So it's a passion. I think my biggest advice is at the end of the day, you're going to put your blood, sweat, and tears into this. It's 24/7. It's a hell of a lot of work. So you can't just do it out of passion. You actually have to make sure it's a sound business proposition. And as boring as it is working through that, not doesn't have to be a full business plan, but a basic business model that is going to be a profitable model, because I think that's one thing over the years I've seen in the industry is a lot of people having their own studios And it's probably an awesome, you know, it's an awesome lifestyle and that's good. But are they actually, you know, creating a profitable business? And, you know, I think that's really important that we have to create profitable business. Breaks my heart to see when these, you know, studios are shutting their doors. And they've, you know, lost money that potentially could have been into their first home or something else. So, you know, I think that's the first thing, is really just getting out, you know, basic P&L sales and expenses and just making sure that it makes financial sense.
I love that because I feel like you can get caught up in the excitement or like people who might have a community themselves, like they run something and they've got people who follow them and it's just like what are the opportunities? But it's like it's the unsexy stuff that you really got to set up because
100%.
all that doesn't work, you know? And like you're saying, like it fades away. It's the whole remote thing. It's like, well, if you can't get people on the same page, the business doesn't exist, you know? So
Yeah,
it's like
that's
it's all
right.
that sort of stuff
Yeah.
together, isn't it?
And I think too, when it is your passion and you love it, sometimes it's like you feel like either, you know, greedy or you don't want to feel about like talk about making profit. I think that's even a thing for a lot of females. It's like, you know, whereas I think you're just kind of just got to make sure that it is actually going to be sustainable because you are going to give it your all.
It can be everything, can't it? It can be really good for people and you make money. That's the
That's
whole thing.
right,
It's not like
100%.
they win, I lose. Like it's not a good thing that you're just doing. It's like everything needs to make sense or else like it becomes
You
too
take
quite.
from me, and you get. That's how it works, isn't
A little
it?
bit. I suck everything from you,
Well,
don't
question. Another
I, huh?
question we ask all our guests is a bit of a mental health one. Gail, what do you turn to get some energy back in your life?
Well, as Locke said, he often sees me walking on the beach in Torquay. Yeah, look, movement's my key thing. Obviously, I'm always doing classes at Upstate, but I do try to get down to that ocean every single day with my dog. And just, you know, it's pretty magical, isn't it? Just getting outside, no distraction, and just having that time to be in nature. I think it's super important for people to be able to do.
I love that. Well, I just discovered, is it Bankura Beach or whatever that is
Oh,
that's
yeah,
close to?
nice.
I've never been there before until
Yeah.
maybe like 3 weeks ago. I'm like,
Beautiful spot.
there's so much like good stuff around here that I didn't even know, you know? Like I need to explore.
That's because you're in the house all the time,
Yeah,
mate.
I'm a
You're a
bit of a
house
house cat, you know,
cat.
but I do need to get out and actually
We need to go
explore
do some exercises, get the
or
arms
literally
stable.
go to a boxing class. But I've
Yeah,
seen some of
exactly.
the videos. It's the black and white people punching the shit out of the bags. I feel like I could fit in there, I reckon.
You could let loose in there.
I feel like I could.
You got a bit of anger in there, deep down in there, that
Yeah,
maybe
you'd see
could.
it all just pour out, you know, on the floor.
Well, we're still early in 2024. What are you excited about for the rest of the year?
Yeah, look, we've got a few studios, as I mentioned, that are being fit out at the moment, and they're South Yarra, Richmond, and Elsternwick are all lining up to open in the next few months. So very pumped about that. And just continuing to build the business and build our team and you know, kind of hit the ground running.
I love that. Well, we're excited to follow along on the journey. If people want to find your stuff, is it just
You've got it.
upstatestudios.com.au? And
You've got it. Yep.
it'll be in the show notes anyway, because I do that.
You
I'm
do
a
that.
good producer.
Well, Gail, thanks so much for spending some time with us again and excited to get you on next time in a few years' time and see what crazy stuff's happened since then.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to seeing you in a boxing class.
Hey, if you're new to this podcast and you're yet to share it to a friend, it goes a long way to help. We've been going, weirdly enough, like it was also a reflection point for me in this episode
Really?
of like, fuck, we spoke to Gail in 2021.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
Yeah. I keep thinking it's 2023.
We've been doing this pod for ages.
Yeah. Too long?
A little bit, maybe too long, but
Your
lots of episodes.
brain's been
And
wandering, hasn't it? You're like, maybe I could do a golf
if you're new
podcast.
here, you've been listening for the last 4 years, we really appreciate you. And it goes a long way if you just hit that share button, send it to a friend, because we know how much value are in these episodes. The fact that we feel so lucky and grateful that we've been able to speak to amazing people like Gail now for the last 4 years and pick their brains and get some insights that we can share back with you.
It's
So
almost cheating, isn't it? We're getting the cheat codes.